The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
My next guest is someone you all know, and I pray you all love. Family Life Today is heard here on KKLA every weekday morning at 8:30, on K-Praise in San Diego at 12 noon. Dave and Ann Wilson are co-hosts with the man we've got on the hotline, Bob Lapine. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Bob, how are you?
I am 6 feet away, actually farther away from you, so I'm feeling good today.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, and thanks for coming on. I know Family Life has made some adjustments this week, and we want to get you on. Maybe many people don't even know you are a pastor as well. And So if you would, just talk about your initial thoughts about all that's going on. My goodness.
Well, of course, this is unprecedented. I don't think any of us a month ago thought that we would be where we are, that we'd be looking at health challenges, that we'd be looking at economic factors. People are looking at maybe being out of work or having friends or loved ones that we're concerned about as it relates to their health. I've been spending a lot of time just reflecting on the fact that, in fact, this is something we're going to talk about tomorrow on Family Life Today. This event did not take God by surprise. Mm. In fact, the coronavirus is a part of his providential care and plan for us as his children. And we look at something like this and go, how could a plague like this be something that comes from the hand of a loving, merciful, caring God? And yet the Bible tells us over and over again that God's providential care, even when we can't see his purposes, we can trust that he is in control and he is working out his plan for us. And we can find rest and peace in the midst of that. I've gone back, Frank, to the story of Joseph, and much of Joseph's life was a life of hardship and misery that included brothers who rejected him, being sold into slavery, having time in prison. And at the end of it, Joseph, of course, looked at his brothers and he said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." Mm-hmm. And that's just a sign of God's remarkable providence. And I think we will look back on this and say, what seemed like evil, God was at work in the midst of us, doing a powerful thing. And we have to be alert to that as Christians, as husbands and wives, as families. That's the moment we're in right now.
Being in the position of doing Family Life Today as you've done for so many years, and you said this is kind of unprecedented, when you open that microphone and you share to thousands of people, do you sense God is just at work? And you just alluded to it, but I'd love to hear a bit more about how we can kind of, in a sense, view what's going on here from the lens of Scripture and for God to give us spiritual eyes and hearts as to what's going on here.
Well, this is what we've got to have. We've got to go and say, where are we going to find answers to the fears that we have? Because those are real. The anxiety we're experiencing, the worry. What do we do with that? Where do we take it? And the book of Psalms is a great place to go, because so many times in David's life or the other psalmists, they talk about the depths they're in, the despair, the hopelessness that they're experiencing. And what do they do with that? They cry out to God. In fact, think about the trials, the personal trials that Job went through. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost his livestock. He lost income. And then his body was covered with oozing sores, the Bible tells us. And his wife looked at him and said, "You'd be better off dead. Why don't you just curse God and die?" Mm. And he responded to her. He said, "Am I going to accept good from God and then when evil comes, not thank him or praise him in the midst of that as well?" We're supposed to, in everything, give thanks to God. That's what the Bible says. Not for everything, but in everything. So I'm not thankful that there are people who are sick or people who are dying from COVID-19, but I am thankful that in this, God is in the midst of it, and his purposes are being accomplished. And that's, you know, Frank, you saw this online last week when celebrities in Hollywood got together looking for inspiration and comfort, yep. And they all sang the song Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's nothing but sky above us, no religion. Wouldn't the world be better? And I thought, is this where you're finding comfort in this moment, by imagining that there's no heaven and that there's no one in control and that these events are happening to us and a virus can take us all out? Is that's where you find comfort? I find comfort in knowing that the same God who made the sun come up this morning is still providentially caring for who we are. And we've got to take our anxiety and our worry and our fear and take it to him and say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. And he will bring peace to us in the midst of that.
Bob Lapine is our special guest this afternoon, obviously co-host of Family Life Today with Dave and Ann Wilson. Hope Isn't Canceled was the program I heard early this morning. And if you could just share a little bit more, I know you all talked about six hopes, six W's of hope.
Yeah.
And maybe you can throw a couple out there for the listeners that may be a little at odds right now with sensing a bit of peace or calm, that obviously we're all in God's mercy. We're calling out to him to give us that sense of peace beyond all understanding. But what about the W's here that you guys shared this morning?
I thought this was great counsel, great coaching from Dave and Ann. And, of course, listeners can hear the whole thing on our website at familylifetoday.com. But they talked about the W's. They said the first place we've got to turn to look for help and hope in this situation is to God's Word. So that's the first W. You find the answers. You find your strength. You find your hope in God's Word. And then second, they said, we've got to worship God in the midst of this. Worship is a decision we make in the midst of difficult circumstances that says even when darkness comes in, even when times are hard, think of it, it's the decision that Horatio Spafford made after he had learned of the death of his wife and children. He said, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He worshiped God in the midst of his grief. So I think we have to turn to God and say, whatever I'm going through, I will worship you even in the darkness, even when I don't know what's going on. And then they talked about the need for us to have a regular work routine. So many of our routines have been disrupted, yep, in our lives, whether it's school or going to the office, and now we're working from home. And I heard from my oldest daughter today who has got a full-time job. She's also taking classes, and she's got two kids at home. And she said, my life just got a whole lot more complicated. Mm. And so she's trying to figure out, how do I develop a new routine where we continue to work in the midst of this? We don't just turn on Netflix and binge watch another series, but we still get stuff done. And then I think we've got to look at our world, the world around us, because as believers, and this is something Dave and Ann were pointing us to, as believers, we have a missional responsibility to be people who reach out to others who are experiencing fear and hopelessness, and to point them to the hope that's in us. Rather than succumbing to despair, we need to be the people who go to those who are in despair and say, I know where there's hope. I know where there's life. I know where we can find peace, and bring them with us to Jesus. So those are just some of the things that they had. And again, the whole message is online at familylifetoday.com.
Bob Lapine is here from Family Life Today, weekday mornings here on KKLA 830, weekday afternoons in San Diego on our sister station KPRZ at 12 noon each and every weekday. Later in our impact segment, I want to maybe shed a little light at the end of the tunnel, something we're hoping and praying will happen early July, you coming out to Southern California. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the interim, I just want to ask you, Bob, you've been a pastor as well for how many years?
for a dozen years.
Do you find that in this moment, or I'll ask it more in a question, how does your pastoral role kick in during times like this, especially with your congregation, people that look to you? We know you as Bob Lapine, co-host of Family Life Today. Maybe some people listening right now didn't even know you were a pastor, but what about your pastoral role in all of this as well?
Well, I would say there are two things that have been near the top of my thinking. And by the way, I would just say all of us need to remember our pastors during this time, because pastors do feel an increased burden to help people process what's going on. So the first thing that kicks in for me are the people in our congregation who I know, who I was thinking about a couple last night, and I texted them and said, so the salon where you work has been shut down now, and I know you just bought a business that you're hoping to start, and it's kind of slow taking off now, so how are you doing, and have you got money to get through, and how can I pray for you? Except it's that one-on-one where we know the real burdens people are experiencing, and we're trying to figure out how can we come together as a church family, and how can we help one another through the very practical, tangible issues of this time. I've got somebody in my church, and her mom is in a nursing home, and her mom was diagnosed last week with COVID-19. So she's feeling anxious and fearful and can't go see her mother. And so how can I meet with her and check on her and pray for her and just be available to be a source of encouragement and comfort and let her know that I'm here and that I care for her and want to help her? And then the second thing is for me to think, how do I each week point people to something in God's word that is going to speak to what they're going through and bring them encouragement or illumination? Typically at our church, we are working our way through books of the Bible, so we've been in the Gospel of John. But 2 weeks ago, I put that on hold and spoke to the COVID situation. Last week, I did the same thing. This week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says it's not right to worry about what you're going to eat or where you're going to live or the clothes you're going to wear. And so how do we deal with worry that comes naturally? And is it what's the difference between being concerned, appropriately concerned about those things, and worrying about them? This is just where I'm saying, Lord, speak to me about how I can speak to your people from your word and bring your word in a way that's going to be relevant to the issues they're facing right now in this situation.
Bob, I want to get into an area just briefly that maybe a difficult discussion, but I think it's one that needs to be had. I've gotten a few emails from people over the last week saying they're really angry with God over what's going on. And now I know on tomorrow's program, it's called When Providence Brings a Plague. I've not heard it. I will be listening tomorrow morning to it. But the idea of being angry at God, or, you know, some of us say, well, my faith is really challenged now, or a non-believer saying, I can't believe in your God because look at what he's doing. How do we navigate through this emotion of anger that maybe even scripturally is misplaced, but at the very least, should we acknowledge it? And then how do we navigate through?
I think God invites us to be honest about what we're feeling. And that's what the book of Psalms shows us, that when David was angry or lonely or depressed or fearful, he brought all of that to God. He knew the place to take that, and God invites us. Again, you look at the end of the book of Job, and after Job has gone through all of these chapters and these conversations with his friends, he goes to God and says, I'd like an explanation for what's going on. And God looks at him and says, you're not going to get an explanation.
Right.
The only explanation you're going to get is that I'm God, and you need to trust me. And Job walks away from that and he says, I understand you in a different way now. I know you differently. So for us to bring our anger or our fear, whatever the emotion is, to bring it before God without bringing it in a sinful way. I mean, it's possible to be sinfully angry with God, to attack his character or to challenge his to say, I don't believe you're a loving God. No, that's not right. That's for us to cast an accusation against God. Now, we need to come and say, Lord, it's hard for me right now to see that you're a loving God. And honestly, I'm fearful and I'm angry. And I don't know what to do with this. And so I'm crying out to you because I don't have any place else to go but to you. And, Lord, I need your help in the midst of these emotions that I'm processing here. So I think we bring all of that to God. When we're talking to unbelievers who say, well, why am I supposed to believe in a God who would provide this, who would bring this plague, I would look around and rather than and starting an apologetics conversation with them, I would say, well, so what do you think? Do you think that this is just a virus that sprung on us and it evolved and there's no one and nothing in control and we're all just going to die anyway, so why does it matter whether we die of COVID or we die at an old age? Mm. What's your explanation for the meaning of life? Mm-hmm. There are two big questions that every person grapples with. The first one is, why am I here? And the second one is, what happens when I die?
Yep.
And every unbeliever's got to figure out an answer to that. Why am I here? And if they say, well, I'm here to help other people have a good life. Well, so why? Why help other people have a good life? What does it matter whether they have a good life? If we're all going to die and that's it and it's over, just why don't you just live for yourself in this life? So rather than trying to defend God, I would go in and say, what's your explanation for COVID-19? Where do you think it came from? And are we all just helpless, evolved animals fighting against a little tiny virus that right now is winning and we have no hope outside of ourselves?
Mm. I love that answer because so many of us, I think, even the idea of sharing the gospel, we hold back because we think, well, what if we're asked that question? I'm supposed to have all the answers, or I'm supposed to be apologetically sound or theologically astute, when part of it sometimes means just asking a question or engaging in a deeper dialogue. And I love the way you phrase that. So let me follow up with one more question, and then I want to get into a prayer that maybe we'll see you in July and then ask you to pray in closing if you would. I don't know if you know John Eldridge. He's a friend of mine. He was on last week and he said something very interesting. And I'm sure he didn't necessarily come up with this, but he said the way we were living before of this, we kind of lived as if we were our own gods. He's talking about the secular mindset. And he says, now what's happening, this is revealing all of the false gods that we have followed to this point.
Yeah.
And I want you to speak to, if you would, where we were before. You know, Bob, you probably got calls on Family Life Today. Bob and Dave, Ann, I'm real busy. I really want to study the Word, but I haven't read the Bible in a week because I just can't carve out 10 minutes because I'm working hard. I'm busy. You know, the life we led before of distraction, which you talk about a ruse of the enemy. Oh, my goodness. Distraction.
Right.
So what about the then versus where we are now and as we can move forward, obviously, in God's plan and His will?
Well, I've been thinking about that a lot this week. I've been thinking about the idols that are being revealed as a result of this virus. And one of those idols is the idol of control.
Yep.
That I'm in control of my circumstances, of my life, that I am the captain of my own destiny. And I think all of us, it's easy for us to take comfort in the fact that we're able to navigate life with a certain level of control. And then something like this comes along, and we're no longer in control. And it's God's way of saying, you've never really been in control. That's been an idol for you. You have to learn to trust me. There's the idol of comfort, because our comfort is being disrupted right now. And honestly, we are prone to whining about, I heard somebody today whining a little bit about the fact that she can't go to the nail salon and get her nails done. And what is she going to do about getting her nails done? And I thought, you got people in India right now who are trying to address this issue, and they've never had their nails done in their lives. We got to be careful about our idol of comfort and thinking that we're owed a particular quality of life. So I think John's right. I think a lot of these idols are coming to the surface, and in that way, I think it's good for God to show us, to expose to us that, yes, we have lived distracted lives. We've been busy about other things. We've been bickering and fighting with people over things that are really trivial, and this virus has brought us back to say, you know, let's talk about the things that really matter, and let's figure out how we can work together for human thriving and not bicker over tiny things.
Yeah, amen.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. I'd like to talk to you for a moment about ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. You've seen how your freedom is under attack. But if you act now, you can protect your family today and for generations to come. Go to ChristianOutlook.com to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure that the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's ChristianOutlook.com. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.